Amen. Thanks, Kelvin. And I just want to say thank you for to all of you who have participated online. And I know it's a brand new thing to do it. And so thanks, Lillian, for reading so well, as you always do. And Andrea, your talks are great. So we appreciate your commitment to the kids. And if you don't come online at 10 o'clock, you wouldn't know that Andrea chats with the kids at 10 o'clock to about 10:20. So thanks, Andrea, for doing that, and everyone who participates. Thank you very much. So last Tuesday, CTV reported about a man who received a package in the mail. And it was something that he ordered 8 years ago. I mean, can you believe getting something in the mail that you ordered 8 years ago? I mean, you can barely remember that you ordered the thing or whatever it was. I mean, how crazy is it that was that? I mean, so he opens the package up, and sure enough, he checks the invoice, and it was 2012, and it was a tube of Brill cream. I think that's like lotion for men's hair or something like that. And the man who ordered had a really hilarious laugh over the whole situation, and he barely remembered that he ordered it. And but he just couldn't understand why would it take 8 years to get his package. That was crazy. So he contacted Canada Post, and they promised some investigation. He opened the cream, and all he could notice was the color had changed from yellow, from white to yellow. So he decided not to use the cream. All right, crazy. So we've been talking about prayer for the last month. And so let me ask you something. How confident are you that God your Father should answer your prayers? Do you think God's response to your prayers is as dependable as Canada Post? Because if you think it's as dependable as Canada Post, then you're in trouble. I sure hope not. Did you know that God is incredibly generous and responsive to his children who pray to him and ask? Now, this is another passage. I'm not really going to talk a lot about it, but this is a great story. Matthew 7, 8 to 11. Jesus says, "Knock and the door will be opened to you. Which of you, if your son asks you for bread, and you'd give him a stone? Or if you ask for a fish, will give you a snake?" And so Jesus concludes by saying, look, we are earthly fathers would never do such a thing. I mean, if your child asks you for a piece of bread, you wouldn't give them a stone. You wouldn't be that rude, would you? We would give good gifts to our children, especially if they ask us. And so this is one of those, how much more? How much more will your heavenly Father give to you, his children, if you ask him for something? And so the story is really about the heart of God, that he is generous and he longs to help us and deliver us and give us his freedom. So we're on the last letter, Y, and the second part of Y. And so this is P-R-A-Y, yield. And it stands for the letter yield, but this time we're going to talk about verse 13. Okay, verse 13 is what we recorded earlier. And so last Sunday was about yielding to God through confession and repentance of our sin, and also extending forgiveness to brothers and sisters who might have offended us and hurt us. And so we forgive as Jesus forgives. Even though confessing our sins and extending forgiveness is challenging, please remember that when you yield to God through confession and forgiveness, it is God's pathway to freedom. There's no shortcuts. And without it, we live in bondage to our sins. And so today we continue with the second part of yield found in the last verse, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one. That word can kind of go both ways. Deliver us from evil, or the evil one, as in a person, the devil. So in this petition to God our Father, We as children are asking God to protect us from temptation to sin and to deliver us from evil or the evil one, who of course is Satan. Now, like the other petitions in this prayer, this should encourage you. God is not like Canada Post. God is promising to protect his children from the deceptions of the evil one when we seek him in prayer. If Jesus asks us to pray for protection against temptation and evil, that means he will do just that. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Because if we did, we would pray this prayer. And so Jesus asks us to pray because he wants our faithful participation with him. And this is really what prayer is. It's participating with God, with the Holy Spirit. We are faithfully persevering by participating with the personal presence of God given to you by the Holy Spirit so that his protection and his love will flow into our lives and into the lives of other people. So once again, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, as you read that verse, immediately we're confronted with a problem. Because it sounds as if we're asking God not to lead us into temptation to sin, but you think to yourself, but I thought the Bible teaches us that God doesn't tempt us to sin. James 1:13 says, "No one should say, 'God has tempted me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone to sin." Now, the Bible does not contradict itself. We are not asking God to not lead us into being temptation to sin because the Bible already teaches us that God does not do that. So how should we understand what Jesus is saying in this prayer? Well, we have to read the entire petition together. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus has the evil one in view here. He is the one who tempts us to sin, not God, not the Holy Spirit of Jesus. Okay, so for a lot of people, that's just self-explanatory, but that's the point here, okay? Jesus is helping us from being overcome by temptation to sin because it is the evil one who's the one who tempts us. The late theologian John Stott suggests this paraphrase, "Do not allow us to be led into temptation that it overwhelms us, but rescue us from the evil one." And so we are asking God not so much to avoid the evil one's temptation to sin, but to overcome his temptations. So why do we need to pray for protection and deliverance? Well, just in this short petition, we are being taught about the reality and strength of Satan. He is stronger than we are. We have to understand that. That is why we must pray that our Father in heaven would deliver us from evil and the evil one himself. The Lord's Prayer ends on a somber note and really a realistic note because the evil one or Satan is at war with Jesus and he's at war with any followers of Jesus Christ. So anytime God's children go into serious prayer or want to just follow Jesus, expect the evil one to fight back. Don't be surprised at all if you seek the Lord in renewed prayer. If you want to grow deeper in your walk with Jesus, you may have to face periods of disappointment and discouragement and temptation to give up and give in. I was reminded a few weeks ago, and I was reading through Psalm 23 in my own devotions, and there's a portion of that psalm that you know well, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," that part just spoke to me. And the Lord's words to me was kind of like a warning to say, "Dan, you will have to face some troubling times. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, God His shepherd, the shepherd, will protect me. So I heard two things, that the reality of opposition will become real, but at the same time, God will be your shepherd, Dan. And sure enough, within a week or so, I was having to face some spiritual opposition of various kinds. And so we go into this prayer of yielding to God for protection and for the power of God, knowing two truths. Satan will oppose God's sheep, especially when you get serious. But we are also given the authority, and this is important. Every child of God is given the authority through Jesus Christ to stand up against the deceptions and the attacks and the wiles of the evil one. Okay? He's given us the authority through Jesus to stand up against the deceptions of the evil one through the gift of prayer that we're talking about. Now, why does Satan oppose followers of Jesus? Why does he try to do this? And how does he do it? And then what do we do about that? Okay, so let me answer some of these questions. Ever since the beginning, Satan has been against God. And so when God created the heavens and the earth a long time ago, there was a rebellion of some kind in the spiritual realm. And Satan and his angels, that we are now called demons because they're fallen, were thrown out of heaven. And even after Jesus defeated Satan on the cross, and his destiny is doomed, he and his demons are dead set against the church and Christians. Okay? And so this is why. That's the story behind the story of why we face opposition. What is Satan trying to do? Well, let me read from Scripture, and you'll hear what he's trying to do. So John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." 2 Corinthians 4:4 talks about him trying to blind the mind of unbelievers. Now, why is it so hard for the gospel to go out and for the gospel to receive? Well, Satan is in opposition. He's trying to blind the mind of unbelievers. He's trying to wear you down and get you to quit. 2 Corinthians 12:7 to 10, it talks about how Paul received a torment from the evil one, a thorn in the flesh, he talks about. And Paul had to go into warfare and to depend upon the grace of God and go into deep prayer. Satan tries to divert us from God's plans, like he tried to do with Jesus when Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And so there's that great story of Satan's constant attack against Jesus. But Jesus, of course, fought against him through the Word of God. And he's trying to break your fellowship with him. And he's trying to break the fellowship of the church itself with each other. Okay? And so this is the things he's trying to do. He is completely against the church. And he's trying to create distrust and disunity within the body of Christ. So what are Satan's tactics? What's his, what kind of things does he use to go against us? Well, Satan has used a long list of tried and true tactics. And they include things like this: lies, deception, murder, persecution, temptation, spiritual blindness, doubt, guilt, fear, jealousy, pride, slander, bondage, discouragement, false teaching, and more. Now, this might sound overwhelming. And believe me, we have to take his tactics seriously. But this is precisely why Jesus teaches us to pray this prayer: "Lead us not into temptation. God, our Father in heaven, deliver us, Lord, from this evil one in his tactics." You know, what's so amazing about this prayer is that God, just as God gives you the authority and the freedom to address God as your heavenly Father, right? I mean, you can come into the throne of God's grace anytime. And you're given that authority to do that because of your life in Jesus Christ. But in the same way, he gives you the freedom And he gives you the authority to pray in the name of Jesus against the tactics of the evil one. How is this possible? We know that when Jesus died on the cross, he forgave your sins and he released you from bondage to evil and the evil one. Not only this, Jesus defeated Satan at the same cross where you were forgiven. However, just as sin still exists today, Satan still is alive and exists today and is active, even though he knows his destiny is going to end. And he works primarily in the background through different schemes trying to deceive us. Okay. So here's an important question. Can you defeat the evil one in his tactics in our everyday lives? Are we able to persevere under his attacks? Well, the answer is yes, because the Word of God says we can. So listen to God's Word. Ephesians 6:13, which was read earlier. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, and then Paul lists off the famous image of God's armor, about the truth, the breastplate of righteousness that protects us from guilt, feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, which is hope, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And finally, Paul says to pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and requests, which brings us back to prayer and asking God for help against the devil's temptations and his deceptions. These are weapons not simply to be read and admired, but to be used, to be put on. You don't just put it on and then don't use these pieces of armor. They're not just there for show. They're not just there to be talked about and admired. They are to be used, okay? So let me just finish our time by giving you four practical steps for spiritual battle against the evil one, okay? So you will find that what I'm about to say is things that we have already talked about really in the last month. So I'm trying to kind of bring things together here. So number one, take time to pray and thank God for who you are in Jesus Christ, okay? So I'm not talking about, you know, one little prayer now and again. I'm talking about regular time with God, okay? Take time to pray daily. And so find your place, find your spot, and go into prayer with God daily. This is the way to put on God's armor spiritually. And so when you take time to pray and thank God for who you are in Jesus Christ, what you are doing is that you're pausing to remember this. This is who I am in Jesus. I'm a child of God. I'm a forgiven child of God. I'm made right with God. I'm without condemnation or guilt because I am completely forgiven. I have hope in Jesus Christ. I stand in the truth of who you are and the Word of God. Satan is whispering the opposite to you, okay? The very opposite. He's trying to condemn you. He's trying to bring you down. But you stand firm by praying this truth and pausing to understand that I'm a child of God and forgiven. And so this is a combination of pausing, the P and R and P-R-A-Y and pray is pausing, but also rejoicing and thanking God. I mean, there is tremendous power in rejoicing and praising God, taking time to praise him. Because what you're doing is you're learning to put your feet on the foundation of the Word of God and His truth about you and your relationship with Him. And so this is extremely important. So praising God drives Satan away. Okay, so that's number one. Take time to pray and thank God and rejoice in God for who you are in Jesus Christ. Number two, confess any known sin. Okay, and so we talked about this last week. So for example, if you sense that you have anger in your heart or that you are bitter in your heart, then you need to deal with it, okay? And this will come as you become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When you spend time with God, you become more sensitive to sin. It's interesting. And Christians actually become more aware of sin in their life than anyone else, because the Holy Spirit is speaking to them, and then we have to learn to listen. And so when you recognize that there is this tinge of anger or jealousy or bitterness or whatever it might be, the Spirit speaks to you about that because He wants you to deal with it. He's trying to help you deal with it. So confessing is simply admitting, I have done wrong. I have sinned, and you confess it, and then you repent of it. So that means you confess it, and you turn the other direction in God's good direction. And if need be, if it involves another person because you have sinned against them, and you have to reconcile, if possible. Okay, sometimes it's not always possible because the other person is not working with you, but you need to forgive them and reconcile if possible. Now, why is that so important? Well, it's because it's part of the spiritual battle. If we don't confess our sins, Ephesians 4:27 talks about when we let anger fester, then we are letting Satan have a foothold in our life, okay? And so, you know, I think we understand that image, right? If someone is trying to, like, you know, just play wrestling and someone has your foot, then from that foot, he can grab your ankle and your leg and reel you in, right? So don't even give Satan even one foothold, because with that, he can kind of reel you in if you're not submitted to Jesus Christ, okay? So if anger is not taken care of, or whatever it might be, jealousy or something else, it can lead you into further problems, letting Satan have more negative influence in your life. And then it just compounds, okay? And so this was the message from last week. So if you weren't here, if you get a chance, you can go back online and listen to that sermon or any sermon. Okay, so that's number two. Confess any known sin in your life and deal with it. Number three, let God minister you by His personal word to you. Okay, so this is the ongoing prayer that I'm talking about. So anytime you're anxious or discouraged because of God's Holy Spirit in you, He can minister to you, and He wants to personally minister to you while you meditate on God's word and as you pray to Him. And so, for example, you can turn to a psalm. You can turn to a gospel like John or Mark, or an epistle like Philippians or Ephesians that we're reading today. And slow down, come before the Lord in prayer, and be open, be unrushed, be humble in heart. Sometimes we go through the act of a quote-unquote devotional life, and we're hardly open, and we're hardly humble, and we're hardly quiet, and we're anxious. We have to just pause and slow down, because you'll never hear God's voice if we're not doing that. Humble your heart and ask God to speak to you personally. Now remember, God's word is not just print letters on paper, okay? Behind this written word is the loving, living, personal, almighty God through Jesus Christ. And he knows your name. He knows you inside and out. And he takes seriously all of your emotions. And so take time to have this conversation with God, okay? And tell him about your anxiety, if it's an anxiety, right? Come humbly before him. And as you meditate on his word, God will often speak to you personally on something that comes right out of the word of God. So as you meditate on the truth of the word, listen to it, read it again. Meditate means, you know, you mull over it and wait for God to speak to you. He might have a word for you. And he will take the word of God and then turn it into something personal to you, okay? Something for you to embrace. And just like I was telling you about Psalm 23, when everyone knows about the shadow, the valley of death, the sentence, but for me personally, it was a reminder, a warning that something is going to happen to you. And so you pay attention to that and you prepare yourself for that. And so you are doing spiritual battle, my friends. This is God's way of personally protecting you from evil. Because if we don't spend time with God and allow him to minister to us, then we have nothing else but to go to our own abilities to protect ourselves. And that's not very good against the evil one. You need God's help. So ask for God's protection. And guess what? He's not going to give you a snake. He's going to provide for you. He's going to protect you. He's going to fight for you. Finally, before we close, there's a time and place for us to use, as Paul talks about, the sword of the Spirit against the evil one. Though not every troubling matter can be directly attributed to Satan every time, sometimes he is very much behind an anxiety or a fear or whatever. Okay? So this is when I think it's important where we can, by the authority given to us by Jesus Christ, we can audibly pray against the evil one in Jesus' name. Okay? And so this is when we use authoritative words, words of the Spirit or the sword, to drive out any kind of evil deception of the evil one. Okay? And it sounds like, you know, this scary activity, but it really isn't, because you're standing in the power of Jesus and the authority that God has given to you in Christ. You know, if you just read the Gospels, you'll remember some of the stories where Jesus actually sent 72, what I call no-name disciples. These weren't the 12. These were 72 no-name disciples, and gave them the authority to drive out evil spirits in the name of Jesus, right? And so in the same way, God gives to his children the authority in Jesus' name to do the very same thing. So here is an example. Let me give you an example of an authoritative prayer. It could go like this. In the name of Jesus, I command any evil spirit causing me anxiety to go at once. Okay, let me say that again. In the name of Jesus, I command any evil spirit causing me anxiety to go at once. Okay, because sometimes Satan is active behind that anxiety. Okay, we can't pin everything on him. Okay, but we have to remember too. Sometimes I know we've seen stuff on YouTube and people trying to, you know, cast out an evil spirit, and it's a big drama. It's all on stage and people are watching. You don't need any of that. There is no fanfare needed. There is no screaming needed. You don't need a big audience at all. Although I would always recommend that if you're dealing with something like this, call a friend to pray with you and pray for you. Okay, it's only wise to do that type of thing. And pray also that God would protect and guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Okay, that comes right out of Philippians chapter 4. And he will deliver you from that anxiety, and believe that he will. You're asking God to protect your emotions and your thoughts, because when you're under attack, your feelings and thoughts will be agitated and be troubled. Okay? And so ask the Holy Spirit to go with you in the midst of all that trouble. And believe me, he will fight for you, because Satan is greater, much greater than evil one. And as a child of God, you have been given the authority in the name of Jesus to fight against evil. That's wonderful. So remember, we can use authoritative prayer like this because we are in Jesus. Not to suggest that the evil one is behind every little thing, pride or anxiety, because James says, remember that when you are tempted, you're most of all tempted by your own evil desires. Okay? And that's why we have to confess those sins. Okay. So I think what we'll do now is we will go straight to Darren and Rhonda, and they have one song. And if you would prepare yourself for communion, get your wine or juice or whatever it might be, and your piece of bread, get that ready with your family, and I'll walk you through that. So over to Darren and Rhonda.